Show him the way to go home.
Boom, boom, boom.
He's tone deaf and wants to go to bed.
Boom, boom,
Richard
boom,
Dreyfuss
boom,
has disappointed me. And it's gone right to my head.
Boom, boom,
boom.
Big Blind and Shenanigans, ladies and gentlemen. We stand as the Nerdy Disillusioned Podcast. I'm Stephen Van Patten. And as always, I am joined by Denise Tapscott.
Hello, everyone.
Mark Abbott. And Kirk Johnson. Looking especially Afro-American shiny in that fantastic white shirt and that bald-ass head. And okay. And he's got messaging. Ladies and gentlemen.
Go ahead, read it.
Black skin, black nose, black lips, black hair, black everything. Fuck yes, Kirk. Thank you.
Yeah,
you know what? I got a little messaging myself because I've got the George Carlin sort of.
Hey.
Oh.
Want an obedient worker?
And there's the bottom, which says
a little wrinkle there in time. Oh,
smart enough.
People just smart enough
machine.
To run their jeans.
Dang.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Yeah.
Let's give it up to the greats. Hold on. Let's get up to the greats. Carl Sagan.
Right? Yeah, Carl Sagan, right? Right?
Yeah,
no
Carl
doubt.
Sagan. The only one who brought was able to bring up on the Johnny Carson show, on Jay Leno show.
Mm-hmm.
How white
Star Wars was. Hashtag Carl, Star Wars so white.
Right. Carl motherfucking Sagan.
Nice.
Star Wars so white. Mm. Anyway, it's been a challenging week, I want to say, for everybody on a personal level. But we're not going to get into any of that. We're suppressing our emotions here on Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. Mm-hmm.
Depression. Because mental health is too expensive.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I will say the best part of my week was seeing you guys in person.
Hey-o!
Hey! She came by Saturday.
That was awesome.
Saturday.
Yes.
Denise flew out.
Mm-hmm. I sure did.
Denise flew out. We hit some pop-up spots.
Mm-hmm.
Black Arts Matter pop-up.
Yeah.
She hung out for the storytelling show.
She did.
Yes.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
And motherfucking rained. All
every
weekend.
Time I stepped outside, I was like, what is that from the sky?
Why is the sky crying?
That's because you're from California.
That's because, yes, this is true. And you saved my life with your umbrella.
Well, it's all good. It's your umbrella now, actually.
Right.
Thank
yeah.
you so much.
Because you know,
I have like 90 of them. Yeah. So it's like,
because he came out looking like The Last of Us and shit with that fucking poncho.
Yes.
Unbreakable.
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 Yes.
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable.
He's
right?
walking around looking like Unbreakable. I'm looking like Deckard from.
You're looking like.
You look Blade like... Runner.
Right. Or Columbo. What are the two?
Columbo.
Distinguished gentlemen. What is it? You look like the League of Distinguished Gentlemen. Are you looking for them niggas? Where's Quartermain? Where's
nice.
That pasty motherfucker?
If you want any sense of what we're talking about right now, you might want to visit one of our Instagram accounts. That's all. Even though I won't necessarily... Well, I'm definitely not on Instagram in my poncho. But let's just... I can assure you in this much, my poncho is dope. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yes, it is. It's a fact.
It was dope. Yeah.
Like random people were complimenting me on the poncho. That's now that's some shit.
Yeah.
nobody gets complimented on a poncho.
Poncho, right. Mm-hmm. Mushrooms shrank in their little holes when he walked by.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, go fuck yourself.
Wow.
Anyway,
dudes in wheelchairs were walking, we're rolling by him going like this, this nigga here.
It's funny because I went to say, in the midst of all of that, I went into my local coffee shop real quick in the poncho, and they were like, wait, are you Batman? Like, they were fucking with me too. So it wasn't just the three of you. But it, you know, it's fine. It is what it is. You know,
it looks good. It looked good.
It looked good. It looked real.
The pioneers. The pioneers must accept that occasionally they're going to be ridiculed. Anyway, so in the midst, it's been a minute since we actually, a lot has happened. Let's just put it like that. A lot has happened since we've actually like sat down and did a podcast. I'm going to say there's been some good, there's been some bad, there's been a lot of mass shootings because half the country is on some kind of cognitive dissonance where this is all okay or it's excusable somehow or this, that. Like, I want to say all of us are old enough to have seen enough of the crack epidemic to know everybody randomly walking around with a gun does not fucking work.
Yeah.
Okay. And I hate to say it, but there's a certain part of our white population that is kind of okay with all this as long as it was happening in our communities, speaking about the crack epidemic specifically. Well,
yeah, no, they were definitely okay with that.
And now, and it's interesting because it's like the fentanyl crisis is basically blamed on Mexicans, even though statistically speaking, Americans are the ones bringing the fentanyl into America.
Oh, yeah baby. Ugh. Shit, motherfuckers would never know that meth was a thing until fucking Breaking Bad.
Right.
Right.
Well, if you were paying attention to Cops, I want to say you might have picked up on a thing or two.
Bad boys.
But it true. It did take Bryan Cranston for people to be like, wait, what?
Right.
Well,
meth
no.
is a thing.
Well, you know what? I also threw Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron in what movie?
Shit. And she won a damn Oscar. And
Monster?
Monster. Yes.
So wait.
I want to say that was part
so,
of it.
So meth. So as we had New Jack City for crack epidemic, the meth epidemic is Monster.
Not as good a soundtrack, but otherwise. Right. Yeah. Let's say right. that. Right. Let's go with that. Sure. Monster was a great movie, though, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Charlize Theron, like, she fucking...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
She killed Scary. Ratchet. Then Scary.
She became yeah. Aeon Flux.
And you know what? Two separate movies, two different kinds of feels brought out of SVP.
He touched himself.
He did. His face kind of lit up for a minute.
He touched himself
at a moment. Ooh, my stars. Look,
good for you.
Look at
good
Mark's face.
Look. I see that, like the disapproval and shit.
Normally,
you got the disapproval look.
Very disapproval.
No, I'll be honest. I'm not normally the cream in the coffee dude, but Charlize Theron. Anyway. Well. Anyway, so then there's that. Well, Mark's happily married. He can judge.
Yeah, and a Hufflepuff Ooh. Behind him tells he can judge right. too. But yeah,
he's a happily married Hufflepuff.
Right.
Right.
Judge right. Hufflepuff.
Notice how he's not saying anything because she's probably standing right behind him. Anyway. So.
We ain't ever get invited to that house, man. We ain't.
I get about as far as the stairs.
Yeah,
I tell you right now, I get about maybe the front door. Mm-hmm. You know, because that comes out. Hey, Steve, and then she runs. You know, she loved Kirk though. Can I just say that? She loved Kirk. Kirk and Cosette are like that little white boy and Richard Pryor in The Toy. Like, that's basically their relationship.
No, they're the Mandalorian and Grogu. Grogu.
Oh, God.
Exactly, yes, that's exactly.
Yes.
Is Kirk coming over for dinner?
Yes.
Don't, because she's gonna be a she can't go with me, man, long enough. She's gonna be a hard drinking Okoye. She's gonna be a hard drinking sailor cussing Okoye.
Well, hey, the only person gonna have a problem with that is the mom. So anyway,
yes.
Yeah, she's a lovely woman. I met her; she was very nice.
She is. She's awesome.
She's fantastic. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Moving on. So real quick, I have managed to see in the theaters, no less.
You paid for that shit. What you see?
I do. I'm very old school like that. I know you. Oh, you're look, Cole. So here's the thing. I like the big screen. I like the comfy chair. I like all of this. As far as movies go, Kirk is on some Demacalus pirates, Demacalus illegal broadcasters. Just because we steal what the people want.
The people. Damn right. You damn right.
Oh, my stars.
Everybody's got different ways of handling shit. But, you know, so I have been able to see Renfield and Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Nice.
Wow.
And
wow.
So I just want to say I enjoyed Renfield. I recommend it for anyone who, if you're a Nicolas Cage fan, and I'm like a 50-50 Nicolas Cage fan, but he does a very good job in this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was very surprised.
He does such a good job that part of me wanted this Nicolas Cage Dracula to fight Blade. Which, of course,
yeah.
We're not going to see anybody fighting Blade because we're in the middle of a WGA writer strike.
Yeah.
And of course, we wish the WGA well.
Absolutely.
If for no other reason, me being in the DGA, if the studios kick their ass, then the DGA's ass is next.
Yeah, you guys are next. Yeah.
We are next. We are literally, we are hours away from the DGA.
From the directors,
renegotiation.
Yeah. I get notices from SAG all the time.
And SAG is right behind that.
Wow.
Yeah. So and they like list places to pick it and tell you where to go and all that.
Oh
yeah.
My God. I know. Yeah. It's like, solidarity. And meanwhile, turkey sandwiches are like $30 now. So it's like, this is not necessarily the time to be unemployed, but we're all gonna have to be strong because we have let things go to a fucked up place. You know, the rich folks that got money, they're like empowered. Man. Somebody reminded me, speaking of this whole thing with the strike, somebody reminded me that back in the day, the studios wouldn't be palling up together to, of all things, disenfranchise actors and directors and writers. They would actually be at war with each other to get the best talent fucking possible.
Yeah.
And now somehow shit's got turned around. Mm-hmm. It could be as much as, let's face it. There's a lot of content out now.
Yeah.
And the three of you know, I'm always about follow the money.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll get back to that in a bit when we jump into Jonathan Majors and Quantumania a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like there's a lot of content out. Nobody has time to watch everything. There's a lot of dope stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And as four people trying to run a podcast, we sometimes struggle with, well, what the fuck are we going to talk about?
Right.
Because different things called different people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, there's also the matter of who has free time to do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Because as you said, turkey sandwiches cost $30.
Dude,
Yes, when we had burgers the other day, that I almost fell out when they said what the bill was. And we just had burgers and fries.
Yeah, we had burgers and fries.
Burgers and fries. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and thank you, Stephen and Mark, for dinner. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh man.
But all of that said, we are in kind of a weird place right now, just in terms of how much entertainment is out there, how much stuff is available. We might be oversaturated. Because Marvel, Disney in particular, has put out so much shit. And it's all right. Yes, a lot of it's good. We've all, the four of us have been sitting here gushing over this thing, that thing, and the other thing. But then the flip side of that is Paramount lays off 25% of its fucking. You know, and you would think that with. And so here's something that's slightly on the personal side. MTV News was shut down this week. Shut down completely.
Wait, they still did news to?
That's what a lot of people. A lot of people were surprised about that too.
Wow.
And I just first of all, I was an intern for MTV News. While I was in school, and then, you know, kind of drifted out because, you know, my I got to admit, I was young, I was kind of all over the place. You know, I kind of took the internship for granted, and then it was kind of over and whatever. And then I ended up back at MTV as a stage manager for Total Request Live. But at that time, it was so funny because it was like there were people in the news department who were like, wait, where do we know your light-skinned black ass from? and then not to name drop, but for a while, like a good couple of years, I was actually drinking buddies with Kurt Loder.
Like getting drunk.
Like and real quick, one of the best stories I could ever tell. I'm in the Village somewhere, and Kurt Loder's and I are across from each other polishing off a bottle of wine.
Right.
And the people sitting in the table behind us, I mean, actually behind him, they're talking, they're speculating about Phil Spector. Because remember with Phil Spector and that whole murder thing that happened in his house and whatever, whatever. So this guy is just pontificating, like putting on a full-on TED talk about what he thinks happened at Phil Spector's house that night.
Oh,
and it goes on and on and on. And finally, Kurt, who's sitting in front of me, kind of just casually kind of leans over and says, no, it didn't quite happen that way because of this, 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 and this. And the fucking asshole turns around and says, well, how do you know? And I am crying because the dude finally is like, oh, you're Kurt Loder. And I'm like,
rest in peace. Rest in peace.
Yeah. But so the other funny thing about it, of course, me walking around in all black and a leather jacket, whatever the fuck, half the time people thought I was Kurt's bodyguard.
Oh.
not just his drinking buddy hanging out, whatever. Right, oh my God. Right. But, you know.
I couldn't help it.
I thought you were gonna do, and I
know that's what he's doing, but he's not.
That's what I was.
No, he'd wake up the house. He can't do that.
Yeah, wake up the house, and I'm guessing he'd be a little off key. Anyway, so the point is, it's Whitney. Can you really do Whitney? You know what? I'm gonna stop right there.
Don't do that challenge. Go ahead, Mark. No, sir.
The floor is yours.
Don't do it. Look,
Mark, I'll be the first one to be like Hercules.
Oh my gosh.
Hufflepuff in the house.
You're not gonna get me to do that, Chief.
Yeah, we're gonna get back to that motherfucker in a minute. But yeah, so I had some good times dealing with different people from MTV News, especially not just Kirk, but also Sway, Sujin. Ian Robinson was cool until we had an argument online. Ian Robinson, for those that may or may not remember old school MTV stuff. So he was like the heavy metal guy.
Right.
And he had tattoos. He had some cool Star Wars shit,
oh,
by
wow.
the way. But he and I got into it a couple of years ago because he didn't like the fact that Lawrence Fishburne was cast as Perry White. And it was like, it was, you know, and I,
okay.
And it was, thing is, it was one of those things where you think your white friend is cool, and yeah. then he turns out to not be so cool. I mean, if yeah. you're not, if you're not happy with the casting choice, that's one thing, but then yeah. going public with the casting choice just because he's black. Yeah, you lose
lost
me
cool
there.
Points, yeah.
You lose Boo. Me there.
Yeah.
Because Perry White, you know, I mean, granted, there's the already written into that joke. You cast Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White, and it's like, so what's his middle name? Ain't? You know.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Hold on. Me and Mark do the same thing. Like, man.
You know, and I get that. That's fine. That's funny. But at the end of the day, Perry White is one of those characters whose race does not matter.
Right.
You know?
Not at
it,
all.
It doesn't. Because all no. you really need is an irate person
yes.
who's screaming, Kent, Lane, where the fuck are my stories?
Right. Anybody Jimmy, take some pictures.
Fucking,
yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Anybody could fucking do that.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I mean, Perry could even be a woman. Like, it does not matter.
And then there's that.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And then there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, with Supergirl, it was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
That's right. No, in the
TV series.
In, yeah. the in the WB series. Yeah. Had What's-Her-Face from freaking...
Allie McBeal.
Allie McBeal, yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because Jimmy Olsen was black.
And then Jimmy Olsen was
nice.
Black.
Nice.
Yeah,
I'm behind on my
big,
WB stuff.
Big black and buff, as a matter of fact.
Right.
Mikhail something. I can't remember his last name.
Yeah,
Makad.
Mashad. Yes.
Yes.
Something. He was in True
Blood. He was in Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Right.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Hope he gets more shit, man.
Yeah.
No, no. He and he's what Ron DeSantis would describe as woke.
If
you follow him on Instagram, like, he drops some shit every once in a while.
Yeah.
So he's a good cat. He's a good cat.
Okay. Cool.
Nice. Speaking of the opposition, George DeSantis. No, George Santos. Sorry. George Santos.
Looking for
got his ass arrested.
13 counts, is that right?
13? Oh my God! Yeah. Wow! And it's kind of the same thing with Trump, where it's like, if you would just go in the private sector and be a piece of shit, you'd probably get away with a lot more
mm-hmm.
if you were like publicly trying to be a master of the universe.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I had a weird... When I got the information that I had up until today about George Santos and his, you know, so we've got new information about fraud and stuff like that, whatever. But when I first started hearing about George Santos and the whole he's Republican, but he's a fraud, but he's a drag queen, but he's this and he's that. And I kind of saw him for a hot moment. I kind of saw him as the Moses of drag queens. At least that's what it was going to be.
Oh,
kinda
no.
Like, kind of like the Prince of Egypt.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like Moses. Like Moses gets into being like with the Egyptians and then he sees the slavery and whatever and this and that. But he's actually one of them. And it like just dawns on him that he's one of them. And I saw him taking drag queens to the promised land. I really did.
Right.
I really, right. I was real. I really had hope because he knew his whole shit was fraud in his heart. Because how could you not?
Right.
All you gotta do is turn on television, and they're telling you, George, you're a fraud.
Yeah.
So, I just kind of like. I saw that going another way. But you know what? Him going to jail is just fine, too.
Oh,
I'm good with that.
And of course, as we hop along from one thing to the next, so Trump, apparently, I have to wonder if he's going to have to start registering himself where he lives.
As a sex offender?
As a sex offender. Come on.
That motherfucker went on TV and said, celebrities get a chance to do those things. You know, fortunate, unfortunate. Right. He actually said at the end of the quote, unfortunate, fortunate.
The highlight of this whole thing has to be you sitting there going, I have no idea who this woman is. She's not even my type. That's not even my type. Right. Well, here's a picture. Do you know who that? That's Marla Maples, isn't it? That's my wife. No, that's the girl you said is not your
your type.
Not your type.
Yeah. Well, it's really fuzzy. It's kind of hard.
Yeah.
Wait.
It was a long time ago.
Hold on. It's a fuzzy picture. Is that John Johnson? Now, I'm sorry. You recognize John Johnson, the brother from Eyewitness News. It ain't that fuzzy if you can see him.
John Johnson.
Is that John Johnson over there? And now I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm like the stuttering down. I'm like, you. What I cannot wrap my head around.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Is the somebody has to do a psychological paper on this one day.
Yeah.
They have to do a psychological paper where you consistently everything he does, because before it even the verdict even happened, he was like, we're appealing. You don't even know if you won or lost yet. You're already appealing. You know, it's and you get on and it's like, I don't know this woman. She comes out of nowhere. This at the end thing. He was supposed to come back to New York to you know, fight back in this. He never showed up, you know, and no one gave me a chance to speak this whole thing. And I'm at some point, I'm just waiting for someone to just be like, hey. Shut the fuck up. I'm waiting for like somebody. Even I'm telling you, if he goes to a debate, somebody needs to say it. I just need to hear it to validate, and I will shut the TV off and go to bed and be happy, because it's just like, and people still buy this.
Yes.
is what is even more fanciful. I'm like, how much more crap? Like, literally. Santos gets in trouble and people are like, that's messed up. Like, the dude next to him got 30 something count indictment, not to mention like a slew of court cases, and y'all are still like, well, you know, they keep railroading him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's disturbing.
Santos went, what's fun, much stuff is that he had to report. They said yesterday he had to report to the court. In true New York fashion, they knew what they were telling him over the phone. Yeah, report tomorrow. We using cuffs or what?
Oof.
Because they were like, Santos reported for court today. Santos has been arrested. I was like, wow, that was fast. Mm. Y'all didn't waste no time. You know, and I'm really curious to see what they do about this now, because unlike the situation in Texas, where those Republicans were like, you either need to resign or we kicking you out. I'm very curious to see what happens with this, because how long y'all gonna let this, like, I mean, it's almost like, you ever see the movie, doggone it, I don't want to waste a lot of time trying to remember the name of it, but it was about the young man. He was, you know, he still loved hip hop and everything. It was, I think Forrest Whitaker did it. One of those did the movie, but it was about this kid in South Central Los Angeles. He and his two friends, and they get caught in this drug thing. He went and helped out the local drug dealer, and the drug dealer called him and was like, yo, there are these cats looking for my stuff. You have it in your bag. Don't let them catch you. And I can't remember the specific name, but there's a scene in there where he tries to go into the club because the dealer invited him. Right. And the dude at the door is like, nah, you can't go in. Oh,
Fresh. Not Fresh.
No, it wasn't
Dope. Fresh. It was Dope.
Dope.
Yeah.
But he tries to go in, and the
it wasn't
the,
Fresh Dope. Sorry.
Fresh Dope. The so-called manager, the brother, tells the dealer, he's like, yo, he can't go in with you. And he goes, see what you just did there? Ooh. That's what we call a slippery slope. Now I'm going to have to kick your ass. He goes, nah, we ain't got to do it. Like, he goes, no, I have to now, because you embarrassed me in front of my friends.
Yeah.
So now if I don't kick your ass, people are going to take advantage of me. And he goes, I hate to do this to you. And he sends his boys out there to beat him up in the alleyway. But the point is that the Republican Party has gotten to the point where this is a slippery slope. Because on one hand, you keep running behind a guy that you absolutely know has committed sedition against the country and done everything else. And there's another guy who hasn't even done anything as bad, but is just as badly corrupt. Now, do you throw the baby out with the bathwater? Or do you now go to come up here to New York and try to, because I didn't see anybody on no plane. I ain't see no Marjorie Taylor Greene or nobody showing up here going, let him out.
Right.
You know, Santos, this is, he's being railroaded. Like,
they knew when he got sworn in, he was wrong. Man. Yeah.
But they're not worried about that. They just need to, because first of all, Herschel Walker. Prime example of somebody who would just do as he's told. Hashtag coon. And that's you know, the thing. They are literally just looking to feed ideology and action to their fucked up base that they groomed through Fox News.
But here's my question, though. That's a seat. They lose that seat.
Yep.
That goes into a Democratic hand, because you know the Democrats are biting at the tip. If he gets ousted, they're not gonna replace him with another Republican.
No.
Which makes me wonder.
They're gonna have to have a runoff.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And there's a slaw, and there's a might be a chance at that point. The folks in that area are like, I'm done with this crap.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Might decide to put the best man in.
Yeah.
Then what? Now you've lost the seat.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two things. I mean, you can either think that the Republican Party are actually slimier than you think, and they actually have, and they actually had
if
that
they're
seat.
Slimier than I think. Oh my God.
I mean, better yet, if they're cleverer than we think, and they already have that district sewn up from gerrymandering, then they ain't worried. If they're not, then as you said, Mark, that's a seat that's going to open up to Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm always thinking about, well, how did nigga get in there in the first place?
Right.
And
that part.
If they have that district sewn up already, gerrymandered, they ain't worried about getting another Republican there. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Because look, they are so many Republicans that are in office that shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
On the simple fact that all these shootings have been taking place and they have done nothing to stop it.
Yes.
Since Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's and these people are still around who can vote, who remember Sandy Hook. Right, but we still got these cats in office.
But I think
shit ain't changed now, that means there's something, the game is afoot.
I think he got in there, though, because there's something that happened between him and the other. I almost want to say that it was a sort of a kind of a Trumpian type of thing that happened with him. Right. But the caveat was the majority of the people in that district didn't want him.
Right. I remember that.
And
okay. They wanted,
these were Republican. They were like, this dude is like, Republicans were like, yo, don't put him, like, the people in that district who were Republican were like, don't put him in office. Mm-hmm. And somehow he tripped over the finish line and won that race. Because that was the district that we were supposed to keep. That was a Democratic district. And we lost it because the fool that was up there didn't fight to keep it. So now the question becomes, to your point, has it been gerrymandered to the point where they're not worried about it? Or maybe this is something that they're not even thinking is a thing yet.
Right.
Because it could be like, we ain't worried about it. He gonna get in trouble. He gonna go through a trial or this, that, the other thing.
We got another one.
The unfortunate part is what we have often learned is there's always an obscure law that nobody knew existed. And somehow, some way, unless they love him so much that if he gets put in jail, if there's something on that district's books that say, you go to jail, that's it, your seat is gone. Yeah. Unless they love him so much that they're like, let's change that law so that doesn't happen to him.
Right.
I'm not sure.
They don't love him.
And I
you are such an optimist.
I hate to also say this, though.
You're such an optimist.
Somehow, I'm still trying to figure this one out, though. Uh-huh. They didn't seem to give a shit. He was literally sitting there during the votes for McCarthy, and they were like ignoring him. He was sitting by himself. Like he was in the dunce corner. And it was sort of like he was like the literal afterthought, like, who?
Bruh.
Oh, him. Him, don't worry about that guy. Him.
Bruh, they got another person on that seat. They're gonna get another person in that district.
Well, it's New York.
Yeah.
If this were Texas or Tennessee, I mean, not saying I'm not taking anything away from New York because we
Mississippi.
We do some stupidness here.
Yes, we do.
Trump,
we can get into that subway shit.
But New York seems to be on a kick right now of, we tired of you making us look bad. And so we just
what?
What?
To you. Because I mean, let's be honest, Trump actually did not think the two things that happened to him already, the two out of three things he did not think were going to happen. Mm-hmm. He did not think that he would be indicted, and he did not think that these people were going to be like, get that chick $5 million and give her life back. And he's been told by the court, the DA's office, that he has to stop posting stuff on his Truth Social.
I want one.
Because he's putting information out about the case. So now I'm like, dude, you.
Well, between that and the threats.
You literally are at a number seven of fuck around. And you you definitely trying to find out.
Smart as a box for yes.
that actually might be an insult to rocks, but
true. It's true.
New York is letting you find out. The rest of the now let's see what Georgia and the rest of them do. I'm curious to see.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh.
Wow. We ain't even talk about horror movies and we're already scared.
I know.
The future looks horrible.
But Mark, I'll tell you, that's been a running dialogue. Like, how, as horror writers, can we scare people when their reality
is scarier,
is so much more mm-hmm. fucked up than, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, because people know vampires and werewolves don't really exist.
Right.
Well,
you know, it does exist.
Not according to
Republicans.
Herschel Walker.
Not according to Herschel Walker.
Oh, my God. And that was the other thing. Can you tell how many fucking people were in my inbox when that fucking moron
you think he went saw
public with that shit? No, well,
oh my God.
He saw Renfield?
Probably not.
And you know what? He would actually, I can honestly say he's too stupid to understand Renfield.
Yeah, he wouldn't get it.
Because there's so much like mental health subtext in Renfield.
Yep. Mm, oh, yeah.
If you want to, you know, keep it 100. Yeah. Like, I was not expecting the dialogue of Renfield. I figured it was going to be like a campy vampire, you know, like
bunch of one-liners. That's what I thought too.
I figured all of that. And what I was not expecting, just to recap my whole thing on Nicolas Cage, I was not expecting his performance to be quite as
nuanced.
Thank you. Ooh. And that's perfect. Nuanced. Yeah. And I was also not expecting the subtext to be as fucking smart.
Yeah.
And both of those things happen in this movie. And you know, obviously, you know, and it's so funny because now we're all sitting here waiting for Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Mm.
We're all, yeah, like at least.
Yeah.
I am. No, I'm.
You know I am. Heck yeah.
Yeah, we're all going to be like, oh, fuck, here we go. And it's not till August and the whole thing and whatever.
Yeah.
But.
I'll pay for that shit.
Will you?
Listen to this. All right. You?
There's a black guy in it. One of the main characters.
Yeah. Yeah. That being said.
Oh god.
Mark is doing a full on Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you. Right. It looks like it sure is.
Hey, Stanford, what you doing, man?
Did you just say you?
He did. There's a black man in it. Of course. Oh my god.
He did.
Wait. We just literally went through the DGA. Coming up next, the writer's strike, the WGA coming up, striking. We just literally discussed why we should not be fucking supporting these rich 1% motherfuckers who are making movies as opposed to the people who are actually making movies. And you're going to ask me why. and you're going to question why I don't pay for movies.
When was the last time you paid to see a movie?
Black Panther. Wakanda Forever.
First one?
I paid for both of them. You know what? Hold on. You know I paid for them, right? I paid for both of them.
Yes.
The last white movie you should say I saw was
Jaws.
No, the last.
Oh,
you
said Jaws.
Thor.
Oh, did you
Thor,
ask for a
Ragnarok?
Refund?
Ragnarok. That was the last one I paid for.
All right.
I like Ragnarok.
But you know, there's black people in Thor.
Which in Ragnarok? Yeah, I know. In Ragnarok there was. Yeah.
There's black people in all of the four.
Yeah, Idris Elba. Come on, man.
Across the line.
Oh, yeah, but Ragnarok was actually the better movie.
Like real Aryan Brotherhood motherfuckers were talking about protesting Thor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. When they found out
Idris was playing Heimdall.
Secret, not really a secret. I'm so tired of Vikings, remember? I can't stand that whole Viking thing. I'm done. I'm in my 50s.
I know you tried. Thor's not a Viking.
Thor's Asgardian.
I've literally seen every Viking-themed movie that you can ever imagine.
Yeah, because you're trying to relive Conan. We know, Kirk.
No, I'm not trying to relive that. Conan. Why are you being salty, bruh? What's up with that? Why are you being... Wait, I know you light-skinned, but you don't have to be salty.
Well, hey. I'm light-skinned. I'm light-skinned, but I'm not a cracker.
You ain't
cracker. Oh!
I'm more like a wheat thin. I'm more like a wheat thin.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But tastier than a Cheez-It.
Oh, Cheez-Its are tasty.
I don't know. I like Cheez-Its, though.
I don't know.
I like Cheez-Its. But anyway.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I really, like, that's a tangent. Damn.
Yes, they do. Oh.
Sorry, Mark.
Oh, my God.
Hot and spicy.
I don't know if Mark's offended. I don't know what's going on with Mark right now.
Like, he's rendered speechless.
You know what?
How dare you talk about fucking Cheez-Its like that?
Huh? I completely misheard what you said.
Oh, no. What did you think he said?
I thought he said, I don't know if Mark is a thin mint or what. And I'm like, why am I relegated to being a thin mint?
You ain't a thin mint, man. You a Stella Dora. You a Stella Dora.
He was not happy with that.
Chocolate cookie.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Oh, I'll take the stuff. I thought you were about to say like
that's
I was
Stella Dora chocolate cookies was awesome.
Stella Dora breadstick.
Oh my god.
You ain't a breadstick, baby.
Actually,
that's officially rails coming off.
I wanna
give a shout out to you.
No. We mentioned something. I want to mention this. The other night I found a movie on Netflix. It was marketed as a horror film,
mm-hmm.
and it's probably it's disturbing, called Soft and Quiet.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good disturbing or no, why did I watch this disturbing?
Well, it's too timely. It's way too timely. But it has to deal with a group of white supremacist women who get together after work and decide to go after a series of events, go after these two Asian American girls.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
And I will say this, because I said this to somebody on Facebook. If you can't get past when they first meet, don't force yourself to watch this.
Hmm.
Damn.
It's scary
mm-hmm.
for different reasons.
Okay. Psychological.
So it's not even, I wouldn't even call it a psychological horror film.
Wait, okay. You said Asian American, so Awkwafina's in it?
No.
Wow. Oh, you do.
They're the victims, man.
I'm fucking around.
But
he about to find out.
something happens in the film that I was not prepared for. Which was
normally this is where Denise says that's what she said, but
it happens off screen.
Yeah,
you don't see the actual act take place, but it's brutal enough. The best way I could describe it is if you saw Reservoir Dogs in the scene with where he cut his ear off. And you don't actually see that, but you see the result.
Stuck in the middle with you.
So if you guys get a chance, watch it. If it becomes a little too much for you, stop. Don't force yourself to watch it. But this was one of those I was working on something and I needed something to play in the background.
And
I was like, okay, because it doesn't say that, it doesn't tell you that the women are white supremacists.
Okay.
It just says it's a psychological horror film. They just said it was a horror film.
Right.
I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, we're going in that direction. Oh,
Steve, is it the same? Not Steve, I'm sorry. Mark, would it have the same impact? Remember the book, The Black Hole?
Yes, that's exactly what I thought about. I was thinking about L. Boogie's book.
Oh.
I was thinking about L. Boogie's book.
Okay.
But it's not, they did not invite these individuals.
Right. But
we should specify L. Marie Wood because I don't know if
L. Marie Wood is an African American
author, horror author,
speculative fiction author, award winning.
award-winning.
Or that, like, multiple. Let me just put it this way.
Multiple. And delightful woman.
I don't
very
think
delightful.
There's an award out there she hasn't won.
Oscar.
Exactly. Well, she, oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. She's not an EGOT. That's the only EGOT. She's not an EGOT yet. You know, but she done won every award.
Like literary award, yeah.
She put something out next week. They're like, here, just take this.
And the winner is.
Right. Okay, but is it?
She's going to have her own award show eventually. She'll have her own award show.
No, she's going to have her own award. The Wood.
The Wood.
The Wood. The Wood.
How about the L?
El Marie is that no, one
the
author
wood. The Wood.
That if we were sitting there and it was like, hell at Brooklyn Tea.
Just kidding.
Stephen Van Patten, Mark Abbott, Kurt Johnson. The Black Hole. El Marie Wood. I forget it.
I'll be in the
We lost.
Right, basically.
Okay, but would you consider as disturbing as The Last House on the Left? Like, to me, that's really disturbing. Or what about The Johnsons? Really disturbing. Like, gives me nightmares.
Oh, I mean, The Johnsons. Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Like, that level of disturbing, or just like, ooh, what am I watching disturbing?
No. Okay.
So it's not because... that bad. So it's not the Siberian film.
No.
Serbian.
But it's Serbian. Definitely.
Thank you.
It will
bury it. Westminster Dog Show, sorry.
It will definitely get under your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could meet the director because I need her to explain why she ended the movie the way she did.
Mm. Okay.
Because the end, it's the first time I've seen a movie where I was like, yes, what? And then it's just like.
So wait, are you going to look into her eyes and then, you know, then it turns into Harlem Nights? Hey, put your mother on the phone. No. Hey, I ain't never come home.
Mark, you might meet her eventually.
I need you to explain the end of that movie. That
oh, shit.
Soft and quiet.
Oh, shit.
Because you know I was in The Ghost Rider, and The Ghost Rider, there's always a finality to the Ghost Rider.
You said finality.
But this,
I would like
this.
To talk to you.
Oh, no, man. Oh, my God.
How your horror movie ended. Because I have questions, and here is a drink.
Kirk, we're gonna have to find some cool accents to do as well.
You know what? Let me find the motherfucker who directed Lamb, and then I'll find out.
Oh! They owe us a drink too. They definitely owe me a drink.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Hey, sir. So me and a couple of my compadres, my friends, would like to know what the fuck.
What the fuck? Stop.
So
I said it. I meant it.
Our movie's 1 hour and 31 minutes. I watch 1 hour and 21 minutes.
Oh.
Left me with another 9 minutes. So watch the movie for 1 hour and 31 minutes. Rooted for everybody. Came to the end. I tell you, Chief, that'll be the last time I watch a movie late at night. Without a bit of satisfaction.
Hi, I'm Richard Dreyfuss, and I want to do blackface.
Hey. Oh, my God.
That guy. Oh, man.
Then there's that.
No. So disappointed with him.
Well, Chief.
Man.
You see this guy, I had a little respect for him when he was Hooper on the boat, but much like the Orca and my ship, went down in flames.
Went down in flames.
Man. You know what's
I got
up?
No words for that.
You know what? Bill Burr brought up a very good point about how certain people we still idolize. We don't know how fucked up and racist they were because they died by a certain time.
Right, oh. Right.
Now think about it. Robert Shaw.
Right.
Roy Snyder. All of them around the same age, around the same time, whatever, they could have now been sitting here in 2023 and have said something that would have disappointed people of color and women and this and whatever. Here's Richard Dreyfuss, a guy who you thought, especially after what, Mr. Holland's Opus, am I saying that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You would have thought that this was a reasonable, intelligent, touching. He plays the smartest guy in the room in Jaws. Right.
Mm-hmm. Empathetic yeah. characters.
And yes.
Right.
Totally.
His fucking Oscar from what's the divorce movie, I want to say. Anyway, there's something he won an Oscar for way back.
Was it The Goodbye Girl?
The Goodbye Girl. Thank you.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yes. We grow up. We're fucking children watching this guy do this. All this amazing work.
Close Encounters.
Close Encounters. Yes. Fucking Close Encounters. You loved him in Close Encounters.
Yes.
And now here I am having to reconcile this white privilege, this bullshit, these remarks, and then randomly bringing up Laurence Olivier doing blackface for Othello, which almost had nothing to do with the original fucking question.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my fucking God. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about out there, basically Richard Dreyfuss was asked about the new rules as far as Hollywood and movies and inclusion, and there, in order to be like considered for an Oscar, you have to have exhibited a certain amount of, you know, in front of camera and behind camera, you know, diversity.
Yeah.
And he said, the rules, the thought of the rules make him vomit. Oh my fucking God. And I know we're running out of time here and the whole thing, but I mean, perhaps the only thing that's more disturbing than this is, of course, the mass shootings that have constantly been going on one day after another and the whole thing. And obviously that's something we're going to have to touch upon in another episode. But I just like this whole Richard Dreyfuss thing just has me kind of fucked up. I don't even know what else to say about it outside of the fact that it's just really disappointing. But at the same time, you know what it is? It's kind of like me working on all these TV shows and going out drinking with all these guys and this and this and that. And then Trump becomes an option. And so many people that I have now stopped talking to, so many people that I have now stopped hanging out with, and everything else like that, because they see Trump as their guy. It's all kind of part of the same thing. It's just this long cycle of just disillusionment and disappointment, and it's really sad.
It's heartbreaking. It really is.
We still got Nick Nolte.
Nick
Nolte's still around. I mean, that's all we got now, right? Nick Nolte. Was it 48 hours?
48 hours.
48 hours.
North Dallas 40.
We ain't brothers, we ain't partners, we ain't friends. If Gans gets away with my money, you will be sorry you ever met me.
Oh yeah. Prince of Tides.
Prince of Tides. Prince of Tides. Hold my hair.
Hi, Nick. Hey, Nick.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe he's watching. Anyway, that's our show tonight. As always, I want to thank Denise Tapscott. I want to thank Mark Abbott, a.k.a. Captain Hufflepuff. Kirk Johnson, Black Moses as he is. You know what? Folks, if you like what you hear, visit some websites, buy some shit from us. You know, we could use some money because turkey sandwiches are like $30 now.
Yeah, they are.
And shit. Like Mark got a kid, so he's got to buy like three turkey sandwiches. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Thanksgiving's going to be
Thanksgiving's gonna be a motherfucker. We're going to have dystopia. We're going to have to kill the turkey ourselves.
I'll just have Taco Bell.
Yeah. I don't have to be robbing turkeys and shit.
My stars.
Thanksgiving. That's not your slogan. Anyway, we're out of here. Be shenanigans. We love you. We will see you soon. We will have more hilarity and nonsense very soon.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
If you shenanigans once, you shenanigan.
Ben Mintz.
Oh my God.